sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And this is Peyton Jones.
And unfortunately, you ended up at the Church Planner Podcast, where we still do it audio only and don't do it video style like all the new cool hipsters do.
Yeah, we don't. We're ugly.
I've always wanted to go into radio because I got a face for radio and
face the for modern, podcasting.
That's the thing. Modern, it's podcast. So that's what we do.
Well, you know, I mean, we could have our tagline like, hey, I'm ugly, but I'm still doing it. You know, that could be like could be our handle, you know?
I'm ugly, but I'm still doing it.
Yeah. It's funny because I'm on through the word, right? And that's like reaching millions of people. And I'm not famous from it. Like, nobody knows what I look like. In fact, the time that they put a video of me up, because Chris will do like videos of the day, the comments exploded with, that's the worst AI video of Chris Langham ever. So, because we're both bald and we both have like same kind of chin hair, but mine's longer and wider. But yeah, it's kind of funny, man. Like, we've managed to avoid celebrity.
Celebrity. Well, I've managed to avoid it myself quite frequently.
It's kind of cool,
I dodge it at every corner.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, you know, I think our reach is something like 12 million through the word. So it's kind of a...
I just want to point out that we've been around almost as long and we don't reach 12 million.
I'd like to think that between the topics of church planning and the Bible, maybe church planning is a smaller topic than the Bible.
It could be, but I still think we should have a reach of 12 million. My ego says we should have a reach of 12 million.
Yeah, there's not 12 million church planners out there.
Well, that's because you're thinking too small, Peyton.
If you did a better job on the podcast, there would be 12 million planners. You know, it's funny because that is kind of the hope with discipleology. Is that will mobilize a generation of people that are ready to talk about this stuff. I mean, kind of going back to the farm system approach with this book, which, by the way, I still do not have a copy of.
Of what?
My own book.
Well,
it releases in 6 days. And Amazon's probably going to give it to me first.
Did you order one from Amazon just so you can bump your numbers up?
No, I just got one because I want the experience of getting my book in the mail. But I'm supposed to get 100 author copies. And then I mailed a promo box. We did like a box. And not everyone's gotten theirs yet. Apparently, I haven't. But people started as early as 7 days ago getting their boxes with their book. And yesterday, Chris Langham brought the box I mailed him to my house so I could see it. But I still don't have a copy of my own book. He's like, I could leave it here. I'm like, no, man, I'll obsess over it. All I see at this point is the mistakes. So I can't look. I just had to see it. Just had to put my hands on it. It looks so good next to Plantology, Pete. Looks like a set.
Well, all I can say to that, never mind, I'm not even going to go down that road. But hey, you know, see, I'm learning this discernment. I'm learning to just stop myself.
Stop talking?
I'm trying. I'm like,
it's impossible.
I'm like Luke right now. I just got to keep talking. The words got to keep coming out of my mouth. You guys don't know my son. If you knew my son, you'd understand, man. He is...
I only know this because of our Fortnite sessions. He talks the whole time.
Dude, okay, so this is a true story. I have this friend from college. He actually lives real close to me here in Texas. And in college, I really couldn't stand hanging out around him because he talked so dang much. Like, he's one of those guys that just got words got to keep coming out of his mouth. Like, it's just not. And so it drives me crazy. I'd be like, I can't hang around that guy. Well, then I have Luke. And I actually like Luke. So I have learned to be around people who can't stop talking. Like, they just got to keep the words coming out of their mouth. And so it's funny. Now I'm actually able to hang out with that guy from college because I've learned from Luke. It's still a little bit much for me. But, like, he's one of those guys I've learned that the only way I can have a conversation with him is I have to interrupt him.
Like, are you serious?
Yeah. Like, if you let him go unchecked, he'll just keep talking.
He's probably relieved when you interrupt him. Like, he's like, oh, thank goodness. You know, because he's
no, because then he'll pick right up the second I slow down. He's right back in it.
Yeah, he's filling the silence. He's uncomfortable with the silence.
Hey, so on to the important topics. What'd you think of my video for my house?
Oh my gosh, dude, that was such a great video. Holy cow! I can't remember how it starts off, but something about commie.
You still living in commie California? Well, bless your heart.
So it's Pete coming out of the front door of his house. Our buddy's a real estate agent. He's a listener to the podcast and a former church planner, and he's killing in real estate. We've talked about him, Vinny Cordero. If you're in Orlando, look him up. Great guy.
If you need to buy or sell your real estate in the Orlando area, hit up Vinny.
He's like blown up, but he's a great dude. Like, he's done like a ton of stuff for New Breed. If you guys have ever gone to Exponential and seen our like team stickers, Vinny made those. So, but anyways, he does all these videos. He sends them. Pete goes, I'm going to make my own, but you can't do it because you'll get in trouble. And so,
well, Vinny said he couldn't do it. He's like,
oh, okay.
Because Vinny's from New York. And so he migrated down during COVID, like so many people, from New York to Florida. And now he's selling real estate in Florida. And so he'll often run his videos to people in Florida because he knows there's so many people who still want to move down. So he's like,
yeah,
you know, we got this house over here. And he's like, I would really go off on, like, you know, communist New York because the people who are moving because of those reasons. He's like, but I can't because of my license. I'll get in trouble. He's like, but you, you got the First Amendment on your side. You can do whatever you want. And so that's why mine starts out the way it does.
Oh my gosh, dude. It was the funniest thing ever. So Pete comes out and he's doing the whole like Texas thing, big hat, whole family's got.
How about the shirt? Come on, the shirt is the Texas flag.
Oh my gosh, dude. It was like if Pete were a superhero in this video, he would have been Mr. Texas. I'm Texas man. And you're just ripping on California the whole time.
Well, it was funny because I did have ChatGPT write up a script, but it was like it had so little to do with the home to do with how bad it is in California that we couldn't actually use it.
It was so good though, because Pete's family starts making cameos like, hey, let me show you this. Let me tell you about this room. I did think it was funny that didn't they call your office grandma's room or
no. The living room is Gigi's living room.
Oh, okay.
So Mackenzie goes, this is Gigi's living room, and Billy's that's like laying on the couch and she goes, that's Billy. And then she goes running through the rest of the house. And it was funny because I think Luke filmed that. Because we did like two takes. I filmed one, Luke filmed one, and then we reversed it. Right. So I would introduce each of them and I go, all right, now my son's going to show you the upstairs. And, you know, then Luke does his little thing. And I think Mackenzie was filming that one. And I think the ones that the kids filmed, we actually ended up using because they were just like the way that they flowed and the fact that they were shorter. So, you know, like the camera angles worked better. It was, and then Jamie's
a thing of beauty.
Jamie's like, I got to show you the pool. Follow me, right? She goes out there, and right then it starts raining. She goes, it's raining here in Texas. And she's like, let's go in.
That was great. You guys, if you can, Pete, you got to post
it. I'm running it as an ad in California, Orange County, LA, Riverside. And I have a different version of it that doesn't say, you still live in commie California. I'm running a different version in Texas all around here.
Well, because
I'm trying to sell my house, man. Yeah. I'm trying to sell it.
Man, I tell you what, and then a for sale sign out front, for sale by owner.
People well, it's not like for that. Sale by owner. I'm listed, but I'm with what's called a flat fee broker. So they basically just list it in the MLS and you got to do everything else to sell it. They make sure that you're legal and compliant, and I'll still pay, you know, a buyer's agent. I got no problem with that, man. I'm like, dude, bring it on. I mean, we've had showings all week. So I'm like, someone just write me
up. In Britain, you could say for sale by owner and still use an agent to make sure it was legal. So it just meant that you were doing all the marketing. So that's
fine. Oh, well then, well, using Britain's vernacular, sure, but it's not technically. It's
you put a sale out front. They're negotiating with you direct. You know, it's you know, people might get people go, hey, how much your house? You know, call Pete or set up a text message. You know,
for I did. I set up a website. I did the whole. I'm like, dude, I'm a marketing guy.
Yeah.
So I'll do all this stuff, no problem. Because here's the problem, man. Right? You know this. So for like the last 15 years, I've trained real estate agents.
Yeah.
Like I've trained well over 100,000 of them on how to market their business. Now, not necessarily on how to sell homes. Right. I figure they already know how to do that, but I know how to get clients, right? Like that's always been my thing. And I could never say this because I was working with them. And I'm like, I don't see the value in real estate agents, especially the listing agent. I don't see the value. Like they're basically taking, you know, on average 3% of your home value. And I'm like, for what? They stick it in the MLS. The MLS is the one that does all the work. Why am I giving you, you know, 20 grand or, you know, or back in California, 40 grand to stick it in the MLS? It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I'll stick it in the MLS. Like, what am I paying you for? Because none of them, not a single one of them, outside of a guy like Vinny is actually good. And he takes his job seriously as a listing agent when he lists. Like, there's a thing called, I think it's called a reverse lookup, where basically all these agents out there, you know, they're working with buyers and people say, hey, I'm looking for a home between, you know, 500,000 and 600,000 and, you know, this many square feet with a pool, all that stuff, right? And so they set up these little automatic emails that'll get emailed to that person every time a home hits the market in the area they're looking for that fits that, right? And so anytime someone hits a like on that, the listing agent can find out. And they can reach out to that agent whose buyer liked it. They don't know who the buyer is, right? But they know who the buyer's agent is. They can say, hey, you know what? Your person liked this. You know, let's get them over here. Let's actually show them the house. And so that's what Vinny will do. Like Vinny was telling me, he goes, I had this one house that had 438 likes. I called every single agent and said, bring your buyers out to this house. They liked it. Bring them. The problem is most agents won't do that. They're lazy. They learn, I stuck it in the MLS. This is not all I got to do. Well, yeah, that's all you do. That doesn't mean that's all you could do. So I'm looking at it as a guy who's trained these guys for 15 years going, I don't see any value. I'm just going to use an agent to make sure I'm compliant. They list it in the MLS and I'm going to do all the work. And so that's what we've been doing. That's why we did those videos. And it's been good. It's been fun. Now quit typing and listen to my story.
Well, I hope that you sell it and I hope you get a good profit and you get your dream home.
I don't even care if I get a good profit. I just want to get a buyer because we're under contract on another house. So I got to sell this one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's cool, man. That's cool. Yeah. Well, hey, I don't really have a lot except for the topic today. So you want to jump in?
Great, Scott. It's time for this week's topic.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty. I found out that I've got 14 topics or 14 talks at Exponential this year. 14, man.
You remember that year that Exponential paid me to come out there and be a part of a panel?
Yeah.
That was funny.
I'm going to be presenting at Exponential Ventures this time for Disciplology. Not the book, but the actual project.
You need to tell them, hey, there's this guy who I co-host a podcast with, and he's really good at showing bivocational pastors how to earn a living. Let's have him come talk. Let's give him a session.
You can register for it and meet me there next year.
Yeah, but that's too much work. I want you to talk to them. Don't you understand? I'm selling my home. I'm busy.
What people don't know listening is that was we had pitched that to Todd Wilson. To do a Shark Tank, remember?
Oh yeah,
but before the
I didn't know we'd actually.
That's why you got him. That's why you got invited to the panel because I had told Todd, "Hey, Pete and I think you ought to do a Shark Tank where you get a bunch of people and you do the most missional venture and something that's going to move the needle. And Todd liked it. So that's why they started doing that. That was us, baby.
I didn't even know they do it.
Yeah. It's called Exponential Ventures. It runs every year now. You and I were on the panel that first year that they did it as judges.
No, I was not on a panel as a judge. I was on a panel for something else. I was there for like Q&A.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I zoomed in at the live event. I was the only Zoom panel. I was like Max Headroom in the corner there. But yeah, I was a judge. First time. I thought you were too, no?
No, is it good? I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, it was cool. Adventures. It was cool. So, yeah, man. So anyways, I got that. That's one of my 14 talks and I have 7 minutes to pitch this thing. So Ryan is draft up. But by the way, if you're at Exponential, you can look us up. We're going to be there. We're all over the place. We're running the church planning pre-conference track Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning. And then Tuesday afternoon, the main conference starts and we are in the discipleship track. So you can come join us. And I'm speaking at other people's, yada, yada. But anyways, yeah. So, well, guys, look, here's the deal. What I want to talk about today is one of the things that discipleship really emphasizes is that before you make disciples, you have to become a disciple. And that doesn't mean get saved. So I know, like, when I say that, people are like, oh, well, you know, I'm saved. I've become a disciple. But that's not really true. Like, I guess you could start going into, like, lordship of Christ and all this. I don't want to split hairs theologically. What I'm trying to say is when I talk about becoming a disciple, I mean that you follow Jesus so that your character transforms. And that's really what the whole discipleship, the time rhythm is all about. Spending time with Jesus so that you become more like him. That's why you would leave your nets and go follow him. He'd say, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you into something you're not. But always when we think about how our character changes, you know, like if I tell you, hey, Pete, go change your character, right? Like, go change it. You'd be like, dude, I don't really know how to do that. And the Bible tells us that character changes based on who we spend time with. So good company corrupts good, you know, bad company corrupts good morals. Our character changes by proximity with someone, and that can be for good or ill, right? But when we're following Jesus closely, we become like him. That's the whole purpose of following Jesus as a rabbi, so that we become like him. So Paul found himself having to do this when he was really zealous for God before he got saved. He killed people because he thought that truth was the number one thing. And therefore, his mission was to smash out falsehood and lies. Now, that's certainly true. Truth is important. We should definitely oppose every argument, cast down every argument that opposes itself and exalts itself above Christ. Sure. Yes. Apologetic. Sure. Yes. But when you kind of think, well, the best I can do is kill people when I get really zealous. That's no different than Muslims. It's no different than any fanatics. But Paul relearned who God was when he saw Jesus dying and laying his life down and not going after his enemies. And so Paul was like, okay, I got to relearn the character of God because not like him. This God I thought I knew, I'm nothing like him. So what Paul does, and this is really interesting, Paul relearns who God is through the lens of who Jesus was. He really, you know, like he makes a statement, you did not so learn Christ. You were taught regarding your former way of life to cast off, you know, and then he mentions all the sins and passions and everything. And he says, in which you formerly lived. This is how Paul lived his life back when he thought that God wanted him to be this angry, zealous, fanatical. And then he realized, no, that's not what he wants. He wants me to love people. He wants me to sacrifice myself for to reach people who are like me. So one of the things that Paul does in the New Testament is when he gives the elders and deacons requirements, he gives a description. He says, first off, an elder must be above reproach, which really everything after that is a description of what above reproach means. Like if I said to you, Pete, you got to be above reproach, what would that mean to you?
It would mean that no one can say crap about what I do. And
yeah,
like you couldn't just go, well, we don't really know what Pete's doing because he's going off in the woods with that chick. He says he's not, like, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So above reproach, like, it could mean different things to different people. So, like, I could say, oh, Pete, you know, you're watching an R-rated movie. You know, it's not being above reproach. Oh, you're listening to secular music that's cussing. And, oh, that's not above. Well, those are all, like, gray areas. No, so Paul defines what above reproach means. Faithful to your spouse, right? Leading your children well, not quick-tempered, not a drunkard, not arrogant, able to teach, hospitable. He mentions all these things. And you know what? At the end of it, all those things are a description of Jesus. Like, what Paul's saying is you need to have the character of Jesus on display in your life for you to lead others. You are a discipled individual. You have followed Jesus so that your character reflects him and looks like him. So that's important. Before you make disciples, you have to become disciples. So that brings me to the Shalom Star, which is a tool you can find at takeshalom.com. It's an assessment that we built to kind of, you know, taking all those requirements of elders, deacons, which again, I would emphasize, all a leader is someone who looks like Jesus. Their life looks like, their character looks like Jesus. And then there's a slight nod to gifting. All of that's about character, slight nod to gifting, able to teach. That's the only gifting thing in there. But so to me, it's kind of like everybody has the potential to have a life that looks like Jesus. So what I would tell you is life is hard, and there are six qualities that interact with your character, like keep balance in your life. And so the Shalom Star becomes an acronym for spiritual, because we always think like, oh, I'll look after my spiritual side and everything else is fair game and it's mine. Well, no, we worship a holistic God who made everything. That's what Proverbs teaches us, that everything is sacred. Everything is holy. Everything is a part of your worship. So let me just break down the Shalom Star. S is for spiritual. H is for honor. Spiritual is obvious, like your walk with God, your prayer life, everything else. Honor is, and we use walk, you know, you walk in the spirit for S. You walk in honor, and that's all your responsibilities. So that goes to work as unto the Lord, or take care of your family. He who doesn't look after his family is worse than a non-believer. Like, there's all these areas of responsibility that the Bible breaks down for us. Others, you know, like being hospitable, and all, you could, we trace it all back to the verses, so that you can see that. The A, I skipped down to O, but A would be, the affections, your affections. Like, does your spouse know that you love them and care? Do your children, are they cared for? That's your affections, that you're giving them to the right areas, that you're not like a lot of pastors, you know, leaving the evangelical widow at home and you're going off to save the world. And your kids are like, dude, who's my dad? Right? Like, I don't know. I thought my dad went for milk, but apparently he went somewhere to minister and he never came home. He comes home and sleeps, but that's it. I don't see him. I don't know. I don't have a dad. L is for learning, that you're strengthening your mind, that you're growing in knowledge, like 2 Peter 1 says, that you're seeking after the wisdom of God through the Word of God. And then lastly, mental health. Our mental health is so important. It's Rick Warren who kind of let us know that can't be ignored. And of course, we've seen a slew of suicides in recent years with ministers. It's suicide within ministry has been at an all-time high. The pressures of that, people neglect their mental health to again go serve the Lord. So the Shalom Star is a tool that helps you get some balance. So what I want to do is kind of encourage you to go take that. It is a free download. You will not have to pay for it. It's a professional assessment. It's been done really well. It's at takeshalom.com. But it really is a tool that will help you kind of gain balance. And so maybe you've heard of like the RPMs. I used to use RPMs, relational, physical, mental, spiritual. I use Shalom now. And again, like I said, it's got all the scriptures that go alongside it. But for me, that's been a real strength, just having that tool, being able to keep my life in balance. And when you take the Shalom, you'll get a score of 0 to 10. And if you've ever seen a spidergram, think of like a six-pointed star. If you score 4 in honor, stewarding your responsibilities, it'll be like a little inverse in the middle. If you're like a 10 on mental health, you know, it'll, that part of it will be all the way out to the edges. And so you'll get to see a picture that represents the balance in your life. And Shalom, interesting, is a term in Hebrew that means wholeness, integrated wholeness. It's what Jesus, when he said, blessed are, that's what he describes as blessed Shalom. When you would greet a Jew, you would say, peace be to you. But the word was actually Shalom. We translate it peace because Jerusalem, Shalom, King of Salem, Shalom. It's, you know, Jerusalem is the city of peace, but it's really the city of Shalom. It's a city of blessing. Shalom means everything in harmony as the Creator intended it. So that's part of the things about this. We get some lopsided disciples sometimes. They think, I just read the Bible and pray, man. And mentally, they're infants, or they don't look after their responsibilities, or they don't take care of their families. Or so we want to have that well-rounded disciple that you know, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to the neighbors of a minister friend of mine. And, you know, I'll just start talking to neighbors. I'm like, you're friends with that guy? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, can you tell him like to clean his house, man? Because we're starting to get rats here. Remember that happening with one when I was in Wales? And it's true. Like the pastor's house was filthy. And the dude's like, dude, like his house is starting to smell. Like, because all the houses are attached. You know, they're like row houses. And over the years, I've just kind of noticed like, when your life's out of balance, you're actually a bad witness. So you go to make disciples and you're not representing Jesus, that makes it a lot tougher for you to make disciples. Your own life has to be kind of balanced.
Dude, that's funny that you say that, because there's a lot to that in so many ways that is going to make a lot of people uncomfortable with where I take it.
Yeah, let's go.
But understand this is coming from a place of falling short myself, right? But like, you look at Wes Huff online, you know who that apologist, right, from Canada? The dude looks great physically. Like, you can tell he works out. He's got a good family. And it's like, I look at that and I'm like, yeah, there's no wonder Joe Rogan had him on the podcast and wanted to talk. Like, he could respect him. Like, he's looking at him going, okay, you're proclaiming Christ and saying that the Bible is legit. and you don't, like, you haven't let yourself go. And I say that only because, like, most of my life I've let myself go. Even today, I'm like, I was told Jamie last night, I'm like, dude, I'm fat. I hate it. I'm like, yes, I'm very muscular. I get that. But there's a lot of fat on me too. And I don't like it. Right. I'm not projecting.
I blame Hutchins barbecue.
Well, protein's good for you. That's all I got to say. You got to avoid the barbecue sauce, but the rest of it's just, great. Mm-hmm.
Bring me that protein. Hutchins barbecue. I wear a hat almost every day. It's my favorite hat. That hat I got when I went.
Do you wear that one all the time?
I wear all the time. It actually, I think, has barbecue sauce on the logo, which I'm a little sad about. So if you see another one of those, I'm just saying.
Remember when we went and I bought the bottle of barbecue sauce? I'm like, dude, I'm buying an extra. It's good, right? But my point is like think about how many pastors we know who are great servants of God. And it's like, yeah, but we all know that you walk too hard, you might have a heart attack. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like they don't have, they're not projecting like you're talking about. They're not projecting that they got everything in balance. They're clearly unbalanced in their life. And like, I even think of this one guy. Now it's not a fitness thing for him. For him, it was a family thing. Like, he's an apologist online. And it's like, he's got a lot of really good arguments that he's able to take, and he's become really popular online. And, but his family life is a wreck. Like, he's been arrested for domestic abuse. And I'm like, looking at this going, dude, you're on your third marriage. And yeah, you're married to your first wife for like, I don't know, a long time. We'll just leave it at that, because I don't want to, talk about, or I don't want people to start trying to guess or whatever.
Yeah.
The next gal, you married right away for like a year, year and a half, something like that. Then you're onto another one and you've already gotten into trouble with domestic abuse. And it's like, dude, man, like there's something going on here, right? Like, I get people can claim one thing and it could be another, but dude, there's a track record and it's not looking good. Right. People who are looking at your life, it's not like what's up. And I'm trying to say this from a point of, look, I've got plenty of faults myself. I'm not trying to say, I don't have them. Cause I mean, as I like to say, there's a reason I'm not in ministry. I know how jacked up my life is.
Well, it's funny, right? Because, in discipology, cha-ching, I haven't done that in a long time.
I know, right?
What we point out in there is that it's really the character of God that changes your character. Discipleship, being discipled by the Lord is so important. Like, my character changes as I spend time with Him. My character doesn't change, like I said, go change your character, Pete. It's not gonna go, Peyton, go change your character. Go work on yourself. It's time with Jesus, man. It's time in community. It's people, iron sharpening iron and the sanctification of being with others. And in Christianity, it's so funny in America, because no one can tell you anything. Like if you try to tell people anything, don't talk to me, don't judge me, don't. And discipleship, we're not talking disciple making. We've talked about the difference between those two. Discipleship is a relationship where you have said, we are going to track together to get closer to Jesus. And so it's no good using legalistic gray areas like, I don't think you ought to watch R-rated movies, or I don't think, that's cool. Like Mark Driscoll back in the day used to give the church planners all kinds of hassle for wasting their life playing video games. Well, it's
Mark
funny,
Driscoll,
man.
Did this?
He did. He said, if you play video games, you're stupid. You're wasting time. Like, everybody's got their own personal hangups. You just can't impose them on others. Like for a while, I was off social media, because I thought, I don't want to be tempted by the stuff that's on there. Well, it turns out, man, I've been on there and all my Instagram feed shows me is really funny stuff. And then I see a lot of people dying on there, like accidents, trucks falling off cliffs and stuff. I don't know how I got in that algorithm, but I'm in that.
Dude, you got the great one.
I'm telling you, I keep off of that. And so that was my own personal hangup. Did I feel that everyone else shouldn't be on social media? No. I was like, dude, if you can do that. And Paul talks about that, like gray areas, food sacrifice to idols. Just don't stumble your brother with what, you know, like keep it to yourself or whatever. Like, you know, don't ask questions if you're going to be like, he kind of has your mind your own business philosophy about all the gray areas. But when we're tracking together on things that really matter, like what you were saying, like, hey, brother, you know, maybe there's a, you would do that in a relationship. You know, like a friendship, that's just part of discipleship. And that's how we grow in community. We grow through time spent together. So the Shalom Star is actually an assessment that if, let's say you met together with a group of guys, I used to do this for about 3 years, and we use the RPMs, but now I'm encouraging people in discipleship, use the Shalom Star. And we really lay it out and connect it to the scripture and connect it to the formation of Christ's character in your life so that you're balanced. You can't look at Jesus and think, oh, he was unbalanced. Did he steward his responsibilities? Yeah, hanging on the cross. He's like, son, behold your mother. Mother, behold. Like, he's handing his mom off as he's dying on the cross. Like, Jesus took care of his responsibilities. He stewarded his responsibilities well, honored them. So, you know, there's all these different areas of your life that show a balanced maturity as a disciple of Jesus. So that's kind of where that's going. But that was really it, man. That's all I wanted to share today.
Well, while you're doing... No, I'm just kidding. I was going to go right into the close.
TakeShalom.com. That's where you can download it and you can return to that again and again. And I would even say, you know, in your discipleship relationship, start one of those up, get it going.
What do you mean start one of those up?
Well, start up a little group of people that you check in with, you know. You could do that once a month, you could do it once a quarter, you could do it twice a year, once a year. But if you want to track your own personal maturity as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, that's the way to do it. That's what that was designed for. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like a, how you doing? It was more of like, how do I track my conformity to the image of Christ in these six key areas of my life? Right. And it's, I'm telling you, man, like everybody who sees it is like, dude, that might be the coolest thing in your book. And, cause it's really neat. So you can take it for free. Typical of new breed, we're giving it away. That's what we do.
Well, I dig it, man.
That's all I have to say about that.
I like it. So tell me though, seriously, in all honesty, you know, while you're promoting the book, how are you able to take care of all your bookkeeping needs?
Well, I use a little company called Simplify Church. Simplifychurch.com.
Wait, Simplifychurch.com? You mean the Josh Henry dude?
Oh, yeah, the very same. And I use Simplifychurch.com because A, Josh Henry was a church planner, but B, he actually has an incredible staff. They are the coolest people ever. They will get to know your accounts, your idiosyncrasies, that's autobiographical, your odd quirks, and they will work with you. They will do your bookkeeping. And I'm currently planting a church now. So I use them for the church plant. I use it for New Breed. I find it super helpful. Like, their customer service is just incredible. They are there. If I send an email, I get a response back usually within the hour. You know, so they've just been phenomenal. They'll help you with tax compliance, payroll, so many things, dude.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up because I've always wondered about that company called SimplifyChurch.com, and you really answered it for me.
Yeah, they're our sponsor. So
They're our sponsor? I didn't even notice.
Yeah, it's on trade. I get it for free. I'd pay for it. If they ever take that away, I'll pay for it. But yeah, that's true. That's how I get it, because I advertise them.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Pete's like, that's why we can't have money. That's why we can't have nice things.
Well, that, and we don't have the 12 million listeners that apparently Through the Word has. So, you know.
Not yet, Pete. Not yet.
That's the spirit.
There we go. Oh, you know, I don't think we did a good enough job to get us any more listeners today. I'm dragging. This time change has been so rough on me, man. I am feeling it. And I worked out last night before I go to bed. Don't do that. That's a bad idea. I could not fall asleep.
I used to do that in college. Now I'm a morning workout guy.
Dude, I cannot do that anymore. So, all right. Well, guys, thanks so much for joining us today. This has been Peyton Jones and Pete Mitchell reminding you. Pete, take it away.
If you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, you need to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.
Press one now.
That's so what I think of every time we do it.